Yes, I want to count it a great honor and a great privilege to be invited to come and share God's word with us in this great seminar. And I want to appreciate all of our pastors here present, all of our deacons, and every one of us that is here. It is my prayer that through this seminar, God will give someone a new beginning in the name of Jesus Christ. The title of the seminar, like we're all aware, is The Dangers of Assumptions in Marriage. And I'll be taking my text from 1 Peter chapter 3. I'll read verse 7. And also from Psalms chapter 133, verse 1 to the end. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 reads, "Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil, or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing." Psalms chapter 133, verse 1. Psalms 133 and verse 1. "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments, as the dew of Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." Praise the Lord. The danger of assumption in marriage. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, "Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge." It takes knowledge to dwell together as husband and wife. Dwell with them according to knowledge. There's a difference between dwelling together and living together. Anybody can live together. But it takes a conscious effort to dwell together as husband and wife. And if we're going to dwell together, I said, dwell with them according to knowledge. The opposite of knowledge is assumption. Many couples are not dwelling together because they are living by assumption. They are living by assumption. Why do we need to dwell together as husband and wife? We need to dwell together because we have been called to inherit a blessing. In marriage, we have been called to inherit a blessing. And it takes dwelling together to encounter God's blessing in marriage. How good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. He said, there the Lord commanded the blessing. When the husband and the wife are dwelling together, God will be in their midst commanding the blessing. And if God is the one commanding the blessing, no devil can turn it to a curse. It takes knowledge to dwell together. What kind of knowledge? Like I said, many couples are not dwelling together. They are just simply living together. They're just like hostel mates. The only thing they share in common is the roof over their head. Wife wakes up in the morning and greets the husband, and then the husband answers with a long face and then goes his way. They're just merely living together like hostel partners. They're not dwelling together. They can't share their intimate needs. They are merely living together. They are not dwelling together. But God said for them to dwell together. He said if they dwell together in unity, we command the blessing. And he said it takes knowledge for them to dwell together. Like I said, quite a number of couples live by assumption. What do I mean? The husband is assuming that the wife is like him, is feeling like him, is thinking like him. And the wife is also assuming that the husband is like her. God created the man and the woman differently. They are not only different in their outward appearance, they are different in every other thing that you can think about. The man and the woman are not the same, and they can never be the same. No matter how much your husband tries to make the wife look like him, it's impossible. It can never happen. The woman is created by God to be unique. And that's why God said, dwell with them according to knowledge. Give honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel. The weaker vessel there does not suggest that the woman is inferior to the man. The weaker vessel there simply connotes delicateness. It simply connotes that the woman is made of a delicate material. God created the man from the dust, but he created the woman from the ribs of the man. And you know, if there's any part of your body you want to toy with, you don't want to toy with your rib. Your rib is made of delicate material. So the wife is made of delicate material. So God said, give honor to her as unto the weaker vessel. Recognize that you are not the same. And you can never be the same. So some couples are living by mere assumption. The man assumes that the woman is just like him. And anytime the woman is not behaving the way he expects, he concludes that this woman must be trying to be wicked. And then he plans a revenge. Praise God. And that's the first knowledge we need to have. We need to understand that you are not the same with your spouse. Your wife is created to operate differently. She's created by God to be unique. And that is the reason why she behaves the way she behaves. Some couples have come to me for counseling that they're having problems with one another. And when I sit down to listen to them to find out why they're having problems, I discover that the things that the man is complaining about the wife, they're actually the reason why God put him in the marriage. Maybe the man is complaining that the wife talks too much. That's why God put you there, so that you'll be listening to her. Listening to all the talk, including the one that makes sense and the one that doesn't make sense. You are the audience. You are her audience. You are the one to listen to all the talk. That's why you are there. God bless the woman with verbal power. God bless the woman with a unique ability to talk. Women are created by God. One of the graces God gave them is the grace to talk, the grace to communicate. That's why they can talk from morning till night and not get tired. And if a man is trying to talk too much, they ask him, are you a woman? Why are you talking like that? Because he's not created like that. Men are a people of few words. The reason is because they are always thinking. They don't have time for too much words. They are people of action. But the woman is blessed with verbal power. Right from when they are very small. If you have children, a boy and a girl, right from when they are small, you'll notice that the mouth of the girl is always sharper than that of the boy. Am I talking? That is God that created it like that. Now when that girl grows up, that talking ability doesn't leave her. It remains with her. And so when she gets married, God gave the husband the duty as part of his role as a husband to be listening to her. When you are talking and no one is listening to you, you become frustrated. That's why many wives are frustrated and depressed. Because they want to talk, the husband is not there. And when he's there, maybe when they are talking, he sleeps off. But when the woman tries to talk, you tell her, woman, you talk too much. Shut up! You have killed your wife without knowing it. The next time you return from work, your wife will be so depressed. And then you'll be wondering, why is it that she's not happy? I bought food in the house, I bought her clothes, why is she not happy? Thank God for buying of clothes, thank God for food, but that's not everything there is. You need to listen to your wife. Including when she's saying things that don't make sense. It's all part of it. Praise God. When you listen to her, she'll be fulfilled. She'll feel like a human being. When a man returns from work, after he had this job and the wife asks him, Honey, how was your day? The man will say, fine. Men don't have time for too much work. They believe in news in brief. Headlines only. They don't have time for too much talk. They have so many other things to think about. And the wife come and say, honey, I mean, how was your day? Now? I say, fine. What else? Fine. But let the wife return and let the husband ask her, how was your day? We say, sit down first. We can't talk this one while we are standing. Then she'll begin to talk about all the things that have happened all through the day. How she entered bus and the conductor insulted her. How she went to try to buy fish and she was pricing it, and the one selling fish said, come and steal it. It's all part of it. A loving husband should sit down lovingly, tenderly by her and listen to everything she said. Praise God. And that's part of the understanding that God wants us to have. But a man who doesn't understand will say, why is this woman always talking? Doesn't she know when to keep quiet? If you are not available to listen to your wife, because nature abhors vacuum, your wife will look for someone to talk to. And don't be surprised, one day you will return from work, police will be waiting for you. Because your wife has said something she ought not to say, so they have come to arrest you. Because you are not there to listen, she has to talk to somebody, so she goes into the neighborhood and find anybody to talk to. Praise God. But take time to listen to your wife. Take time to talk with your partner. Be there for one another. That's why God put you in that marriage. Praise God. There are quite a number of differences between the male and the female gender that we'll look into very quickly, that is responsible for the reason why we behave the way we behave, the men and the women. Very quickly, we look at the woman first. And we'll be looking at five key issues about the woman that makes her behave the way she does. Number one is that every woman is created by God to need love and affection. Love and affection. Every woman is created by God to require love and affection. And there is no better person to give the woman love and affection than the husband. Women are like flower. They blossom in an atmosphere of love. Their best comes out in an atmosphere of love. When a man truly and genuinely loves the wife, the best of potentials that God put in her will begin to come out. But when a man shows the wife bitterness and hatred, the worst of her begins to come out. God created the woman to blossom in an atmosphere of love. And that's why God told the man, husband, love your wife. The more you love her, the better she becomes. But the more you talk about all the negative things you can see about her, the worse she will be becoming every day in your house. God put you there to express love to your wife. And there are three basic ways you can express your love to your wife. Number one, you can express it through your thoughts. Your thoughts. Fill your heart with loving thoughts about your wife. Think good of your wife. Stop thinking evil of your wife. Think of her as the virtuous woman. Why do you need to think loving thoughts about your wife? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A better translation says, that which fills the heart will overflow through the mouth. So whatever you have in your heart, that's what you're going to be speaking concerning your partner. So take time to fill your heart with loving thoughts. Stop thinking of a day that your wife will put poison in the food and kill you and pack your properties and run away. Because if that's what you are thinking, that's what you're going to be saying. Think of her as a virtuous woman. Think of her as a precious gift that God gave to you. Fill your heart with loving thoughts, with good thoughts, precious thoughts about your wife. That's where it begins. Genuine love is of the heart. If it is genuine, it must have its root in the heart. So think good thoughts about your wife. And then number two, don't stop at thinking it. Take time to express your love to your wife through words. Speak it to her. Tell your wife, I love you.
The average man can stay for one whole year. Even if nobody tells him, I love you, it doesn't mean anything to him. If someone says it, it's okay. But if nobody says it, there's no problem. But the average woman can't stay for that long without hearing constantly, I love you. Those words mean more than we can ever imagine to a woman. If a husband is ready to say it 100 times every day, the woman will be ready to collect it. So take time to express love to your wife. Wake up in the morning and look at your wife in the face and draw her close to yourself and whisper in her ears, I just want you to know that I love you. Now those words will fill her with music. When you return back from work, you'll be singing from the bedroom to the kitchen to the bathroom, and everywhere will be excited. Express your love to your wife. Now that was the reason why Jesus was asking Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, lovest thou me? He asked him the first time, the second time, the third time, and Peter was grieved. He said, you know all things. Why was Jesus asking him? Jesus wanted to be hearing it again and again. That's how your wife also wants to be hearing it again and again. Women are never tired of hearing, I love you. The more you say it, the better your wife will become. And in case you are shy, you can't look at your wife's face and tell her, I love you. Why not? Write a love letter and put it under the pillow. When you have gone to work, as she's dressing the bed, she will find a love letter there. Write a short note and put it inside her handbag. Because some men are too African in nature that they can't ever imagine looking at the wife in the face. The wife that they married by themselves. And tell her, I love you. Some people have been married now over 17 years. They can't remember. If I take a census now, you'll be surprised. They can't remember when last they told the wife, I love you. Some pretend they are very busy. And then some other men will deceive themselves and say, well, she knows it. It's inside my heart. If it is truly your heart, it will come out through your mouth. She has been waiting for you to say it. But you have been too African to say it. Some men, their lips will be heavier than a bag of cement. They can't say it. They can't say it. If I try it in this hall now, you'll be surprised. How many married men are here? Raise your hand up. Don't deny your wife now. Now that I'm asking questions, be bold about it. Is your wife sitting by your side? How many? You have your wife sitting by your side. Let me see your hand. The others, where's your wife? Okay, those that have their wife sitting, can you look at your wife now? Look at your wife. You see what I mean? Some are looking at me. I say, look at your wife now. Okay, tell her I love you. Ah, the way you said it. Can you put your arms, try put your arms around her? Better your marriage will be. Now, every marriage relationship began with the expression of those words, I love you. That's how it began. And God never intended for it to stop there. God wants it to continue all through the marriage. In the days of courtship, people do all kinds of things. They write all kinds of letters to their wife-to-be. I heard of a man that wrote 36 pages. He composed it from the Songs of Solomon and sent to the wife-to-be. I don't know whether he's still doing that today. 36 pages, that can make a book. Wrote all kinds of things. Just to let you know I love you. Just to let you know you are the only mosquito in my net. Amen. Praise God. Now that shouldn't stop with courtship. It should continue in the marriage. The more you do it, the better your wife will be. Take time to express your love. And thank God for the mobile phone now. You can send a text message in case you are shy. There's always somewhere to start from. Send a text message, a smiling face. Just to let you know I love you. Praise God. There's nothing more exciting than when you are seated in a crowd, husband and wife. Maybe your wife is sitting far away from you, and then you try to catch her attention and just whisper it into the atmosphere. I just want you to know I love you. I tell you, something will spring up on our inside. And when you get home, your food that night will be very, very special. Now, don't stop at expressing it by word of mouth. Put action to your love. When a wife says the husband has yeye love, that means the love lacks substance. It's not enough to say it. It's much more important to put action to it. Put action to it. Buy your wife a gift. Buy her something. Some people have been married for so long, they can't ever remember when last they bought a gift for their wife. They can't remember it. Buy a gift for her. It's possible to give without loving, but it is impossible to truly love without giving. Buy a gift for her. Buy her a dress. As much as God has blessed you, from time to time, buy a gift for her. You have traveled, buy a gift. It doesn't have to be too expensive. Buy a gift for her. Love is the lubricant that keeps our marriage engine fresh. When a marriage is lacking of love, that engine is on its way to knocking. Some marriage engines have knocked long time enough ago. Put action to it. If you are blessed and you know how to cook, why not? Give your wife a surprise. Get into the kitchen and cook. Somebody say, in Africa, marriage is not an African culture. Marriage is a heavenly culture. Kenneth Hagin of blessed memory, before he went home to be with the Lord, he said anytime he's at home and he's not having preaching engagement, he's excited at waking up early in the morning to prepare breakfast and serve the wife in bed. No wonder he had such a wonderful testimony. He said at times he comes and joins in the kitchen to help wash the plates. Praise God. Amen. Put action to your love. Take time to express your love by action. Buy a gift. And when you want to present the gift to your wife, invite her to the sitting room. Sit down on the settee. Ask her to sit on your lap. Place your arms around her. Wrap the gift specially. And if you are blessed with children and children are around, invite the children to come and watch. And then tell her, I just want you to know that you mean so much to me. And if I have a second chance of marrying again, I will still marry you. And then place that gift in her hand. I tell you, it will make all the difference in your marriage. And if your children are there, it will be an everlasting imprint in their mind that they can never forget. Praise God. The number two thing that every woman requires, and which is the reason why God has put us in marriage, is admiration. Admiration. God created women to be admired. That's why he created them to be beautiful. And he created the husband to admire the wife. So when your wife dresses up, take time to admire her. Take time to tell your wife she's beautiful. Even after she has started giving birth to children and then she's losing the figure 8, still be telling her she's beautiful. Because you will have whatsoever you say. If you don't tell her she's beautiful, you will soon tell somebody outside. You better appreciate the one that you have. Appreciate the one God gave to you. When she wears something good, tell her you look beautiful. If you don't like what she's wearing, tell her to go and change it. Tell her what to wear. She goes to the salon to make her hair. She spends all her day trying to look beautiful for you. When she comes back home, say something. Don't pretend to be too busy and sit down in front of television and be watching television. And she's passing in front of you 100 times and you are wondering, why is she moving up and down like that? She's moving up and down because you have not said something about the hair. That's why she's moving up and down. Praise God. And then some very interesting men, the woman will even say, well, honey, what do you think about my hair? He said, your hair? What about your hair? Is it this one you're looking at like Jezebel? Praise the Lord. No matter who have told your wife that she's looking beautiful, until you say it, it's not enough. You are the right person to say it. And if you don't like the kind of hairdo she makes whenever she goes to the salon, why not carry her and go to the salon with her? Tell them what kind of hair to make for her. And stay there and wait. When they finish the hair, if it's not good enough, tell them to lose it and make another one. After all, you are the one paying for it. And you are the one that is going to be seeing her. Don't be dying in silence. If you don't like what you are seeing on your wife, then do something about it. Get involved. When your wife wants to buy clothes, get involved. Don't let your wife dress up and be looking like a comedian. And then you are sitting down beside her inside the car and you are grumbling. And what kind of woman is this? Can't she see other sisters in church? Get involved. Praise God. There is nothing inside one woman that is not in another woman. Every good thing you want to see in your wife, take time to put it there. If you don't like the way she's dressing, do something about it. Get involved. Go buy the clothes yourself. My wife can't buy any clothes if I'm not around. because my input is very important. And when I'm not too busy in the office, I go with her to the salon and I sit down there and watch to see what kind of hair, because I don't want a masquerade in my house. Don't want to be getting angry unnecessarily. Don't pretend that you are too spiritual. No matter how spiritual you are still inside flesh and blood. You have feeling. You have eyes to see. Believers are very good at pretending. They see what they like. Instead of going for it, they will be pretending. Praise God. So take time to admire your wife. Your wife dresses up Sunday morning, you are ready to go to church. Don't be too much in a hurry not to say something about the dress. When she dresses up and she comes, I tell her, hey, spin round in front of me. And she spin round, tell her you are Miss World. Amen. It will make all the difference. Don't let her dress up and then she's telling you, hey, how do I look? You say, what do you mean? Hurry up, don't you know service is 7 o'clock? It's not the service, it's your African man nature that is troubling you. The African man is not romantic at all. So you need to work hard to become romantic. Praise God. The number three thing every woman needs is emotional intimacy. The woman needs emotional intimacy. The woman is largely an emotional being, and the man is largely a logical being. He's always thinking. But the woman is emotional. She expresses herself through her emotions. When a woman is happy and extremely happy, she can cry. What she's doing? She's just expressing herself. She's very happy. Something has happened. She's very happy, very excited. And to show that she's very excited, she can just begin to cry. And when she's also sad and very sad, she can also cry. It's all about emotions. So a husband that does not understand that, and something good has just happened, maybe she has just bought the wife a car, and rather than getting excited, the woman breaks down and begins to cry, the man will begin to wonder, why are you always crying? Are you a crybaby? She's just expressing her emotion. She's an emotional being, so she needs emotional intimacy. The husband needs to spend time with her, spend time talking with her, spend time listening to her. She's an emotional being, and the man is a logical being. The thing that would make a man to cry would have killed a woman already. Men don't easily cry. They don't readily cry. They're logical beings. When something happens, they're just thinking. They're thinking of what next to do. They're thinking, they're asking themselves, why did this thing happen? But a woman can cry. She's just simply expressing her emotion. So she needs emotional intimacy. She needs the man to be there for her. When your wife is down emotionally, take time to encourage her. Take time to be with her. Take time to put your arms around her. Draw her to yourself and embrace her. A warm and a loving embrace from a loving husband coming out from a genuine heart is worth more than $1 million gift to a woman. Some men never learn to touch their wives, not to talk of hugging their wives, except when they are looking for something in the night. That's the only time they ever remember to touch her. When she's down emotionally, take time to talk to her. Take time to touch her. Take time to hug her. Praise the Lord. Now, if your wife is sick, for instance, don't just come around and say, you are sick. Don't you know healing scriptures? Be healed in Jesus' name. And then you go your way. Be sensitive to the need of your wife. When she's emotionally down, be there for her. The number four thing every woman needs is security. Every woman needs security. Security. And one very easy way of doing that is constantly reassure her. Constantly reassure your wife, I'm there for you. I will always be there for you. You can count on me. And say that with a sincere heart. Say that from a genuine heart. Reassurance. Every time you draw her to yourself and embrace her, you are reassuring her of your protection. One of the reasons why God made the man stronger than the woman is for security. It's not for battering. It's not for the man to be giving the wife right uppercut or backhand slap. It's for security. To reassure her of protection. To reassure her that I'm here for you. Nothing evil is going to happen to you. Please never leave your wife alone, particularly when she's emotionally down. When she's moody. When she's depressed, take time to do something that will lift up her spirit. Draw her to yourself. When she's crying, draw her to yourself. Put your arms around her. It will make all the difference. Number five, every woman requires financial support. No matter how much your wife is earning, even if she's earning 10 times the size of your salary per month, the one that comes out from your pocket is special to her. The one that comes out from your pocket to her is special to her. And that was the reason why God gave Adam a job first before he gave him a wife. So in case you're here, you are single and you don't have a job, you don't have any business looking for a wife, get a job first. And if you're a single sister, someone has come to propose marriage to you, after you have asked him, are you born again? The next thing you should ask is, do you have a job? It's very important, otherwise you may die of stagnation or starvation. You may die of hunger without knowing it. He said, if any man provide not for his household, especially members of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. An infidel is an unbeliever. So if the Bible says such a fellow is worse than an infidel, that means the person may not make heaven. Just for not providing for the family, he may not go to heaven. If he says he's worse than an infidel. So every woman requires financial support. Take time to be sensitive to the needs of your wife. Now we look at the man very quickly. The number one need in the life of every man is the need for respect. Respect. And that's why God says for the wife to submit themselves unto their own husband. Every man has the need for respect. And that's why God said to the woman to reverence the husband. Respect your husband. No matter how small he may be looking, if you have agreed to marry him, then you owe him respect. And that's the reason why if you are not yet married, and a man has proposed marriage to you as a lady, the first thing you must consider and the first question you must ask yourself is, will I be able to respect this man? If you can't respect him, then please don't agree to marry him. Otherwise, that marriage will not be an enjoyable marriage for you. Every man has need of respect. If you learn how to respect your husband, you will make him to be eaten from your palm. Learn how to respect him, because men are little boys in big bodies. Learn how to respect him. Learn how to give him what he wants. Never argue with your husband in the public. Never argue with your husband in the front of the children. If you treat your husband like a king, he will treat you like a queen. Yes, even if you don't agree with what he's saying, as long as there are people there, don't argue with him. When you get into the privacy of your bedroom, you can tell him, excuse me, that thing you were saying the other time, I don't actually agree with it. Praise God. Treat your husband like a king and he will treat you like a queen. And it doesn't matter whether you are classmates in the university, it doesn't matter. The moment you are married, your husband becomes your head. It doesn't matter whether you earn much more money than him, the moment you have been pronounced man and wife, God sees him as your head. So treat him with respect. Treat him as a king. Show him respect in everything. Show him respect in the way you serve his food. Show him respect in the way you talk to him. Some wives can't imagine themselves kneeling down to greet their husband. They can't imagine it. Somebody say, in this modern day, I was teaching a particular group and I was saying something like this. And there was a woman there who was having a problem with the husband. And that day she went home and knelt down in front of the husband and held the husband's leg and said, please, every evil wrong thing I've done, every wrong I've done ever since we got married, please, I want you to forgive me. And they have been married for 16 years. And the man said, stand up. And the woman stood up and he said, who told you what you have just done now? She said, they told us in the Bible school. And he said, come and sit down. And both of them sat down. He said, what else did they tell you? And she began to explain all what they told them in the Bible school. And the man said, we have been married for 16 years and I've been looking for the day you will kneel down to talk to me, and you have never done it. And that night, the trouble of 16 years ended just by the woman kneeling down. What does it take to kneel down? Praise God. Show him reverence, show him respect, treat him like a king, and he will treat you like a queen. The number two thing in the life of every man, and this is very, very important to the man, is the need for sexual intimacy. The need for sexual intimacy. And it's the absence of sexual intimacy that is responsible for some tensions in most marriages today. When I get into a home and I see the husband shouting like a mad person inside the house, shouting at the housewife, shouting at the children, and shouting at the wife, I know where the trouble is coming from. It's not the children, it's not the wife, it's coming from the bedroom. There's trouble inside the bedroom. What sex means to a man is not what it means to a woman. And please permit me to say here that the urge for sexual satisfaction was not designed by the devil, it was designed by God. It's God who put it inside people, inside men and women. And if you don't have that urge, there's something medically wrong with you. No matter how anointed, no matter how spiritual. And God created the marriage platform as the only authentic place where you can express this sexual urge. The only right place to practice sex is in marriage. So if you are not married and you are denying each other of your conjugal rights, the Bible considers it as an evil. Talking about sex in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, he said, let the wife render due benevolence to the husband. What is benevolence? Benevolence is an act of kindness. That means if you are denying your partner or their conjugal right, God sees you as engaging in an act of wickedness. Because the opposite of kindness is what? I can't hear you. The opposite of kindness is what? Wickedness. Praise the Lord. So please understand that sex in marriage is of God. There are some wives that pretend to be spiritual, and after they are married, when the husband comes in the night, they turn their face to the wall and hold their pillow and begin to sing, I am married to Jesus, Satan, leave me alone. Or they pretend to be, they start speaking in tongues and pretend to be in the spirit at that time. There's time for everything. There's time to be in the spirit, and there's time to pay attention to your partner. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. Now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Verse 2. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband, and likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Verse 5. Defraud ye not one the other, except to be with consent for a time, that ye may give yourself to fasting and prayer, and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. The word incontinency there is inconsistency. Defraud ye not one the other. Some people are not committing fraud in their place of work, but they are committing it at home in their marriage. They defraud one another when it comes to their conjugal right. Praise the Lord. So please understand that your husband has need for sexual intimacy. The average woman can stay for one whole year without sexual intercourse and she'll be fine. She'll be very, very fine, particularly after she has given birth to a baby. But please, if you are married, understand that your husband can't stay that long without sex. If you keep denying him, you may push him into the hands of a Delilah waiting outside without knowing it. So be sensitive to your husband's need and learn how to attend to him. Learn how to be there for him. You have only one customer, so attend very well to that customer. That's your only customer. Some women are always saying, I'm not in the mood. I'm not in the mood. God will give you mood today. In the name of Jesus Christ. What sex means to the woman is not what it means to the man. Please let me tell you here, sex is not one of our weapons of warfare. Because some women use it for warfare. If you don't buy me that latest wrapper, don't come near me in the night. And when it's time to sleep in the night, they wear jeans sneaker. And every time a woman wears jeans sneaker to bed, without speaking word, she has told the husband, no way tonight. Don't come near. Sex is not a weapon of warfare. It's not for settling scores. And because of that thing you did, don't come near me. No matter what disagreement you have had with your husband, if he wants to have sex, go ahead. When you finish, you can be sorting it out. Every time your husband turns to you for sex and you deny him, there is something about his self-image that is affected. There's something about his ego that is affected. And please, women, understand that men are affected sexually by what they see with their eyes. And women are affected sexually by touch and by words. And as a result of that, the wife must always be conscious of what she puts on, particularly around the house. Wear things that are romantic, wear things that are exciting, wear things that will entice your husband. If you permit me, wear things that will seduce your husband. You have a right to seduce him. Before someone else will start seducing your husband outside, you better do it inside. Some women are always saying that, oh, my husband is very busy, you know, when he returns home, he's very tired. It's a lie. It's what you are wearing inside that is putting him off. Wear the right thing, you will discover your husband is stronger than a horse. Put on the right things. I tell people the reason why fashion designers design nightgown is for going to bed in the night. All this tying of wrapper 24 hours of the day, and not even proper wrapper, dirty looking wrapper across the chest. There's nothing romantic about a wrapper on a woman's chest. When you are dressing up as a woman, a married woman in the house, have romance at the back of your mind. Because no matter how born again your husband is, he's not blind, he's seeing. You see? He has gone to work and seen all manner of beautifully dressed ladies looking nice and smelling good, and all of them passing and greeting him. Some will bend their neck to greet him. And some deliberately tempting him. And then he returns back home, madam is already in the house waiting. And he knocks at the door, madam is on the other side. Papa is already in place. Hair scattered like a mad person. And then she opens the door, hand on the waist. And the first greeting is all the nonsense that happened in the house that day. The man feels like carrying his briefcase and returning back to the office where he was coming from. When you are dressing up as a married woman at home, have romance at the back of your mind. Some women are very good at dressing, particularly when they are going outside, when they are going to church. But the moment they return back home, they throw the gele away, throw necklace away, and take wrapper on the chest. And the man is wondering, what kind of a woman is this? Praise the Lord. So be mindful of the kind of things you put on. And when you go to the market to buy nightgown, know the difference between nightgown and wedding gown. Amen? Because some people don't know the difference. Some nightgowns are nothing but wedding gown. Buy nightgown, buy tantalizing nightgown. Buy something short and skimpy. That the moment your husband sights you, he enter cloud nine immediately. Buy very attractive colors. One of our pastor's wife told me she has 7 and give the husband one every night. And I did like this for her. Amen. You need to work hard. Because there are so many terrible Delilahs outside there waiting. And how do they collect these men? They collect them with their attire. They put on attires that entice them. Who told you can't wear mini skirt at home for your husband? Look for micro mini and wear it for him. Something that will excite him. If he likes trousers, why not? Wear it for him. If it's not too spiritual. If it's not SU. You know, some men will say, all these women wearing trousers, they're all going to hell. It's a lie, they're not going to hell. Praise God. Don't be pretending. When you know what you like, tell your wife. Tell her the kind of things to be wearing, because she may not know. And that's if you yourself, you know. And in case you don't know, why not ask people?